Hi, church. For those of you who are new to our faith community, my name is Pastor PJ Moline. Welcome. With all that's going on in our world, I'm glad that we can still gather online for worship this Palm Sunday. If you are on our Facebook watch party or viewing from YouTube, type us a comment. Let us know that you're with us. I want to give a special shout out to all the kids watching. Hey, kids. I don't know if you heard, but kids were a part of our scripture reading. The kids were shouting the praises of Jesus. We want you to be part of the message today. We sent out an activity page. If you didn't get it, there'll be a link below. You can color the picture and then play a game afterwards to remember why we shout the praises of Jesus. I hope you have fun with that. And please shout back at me during the message. I love that. I invite you all to join me in prayer. Let's pray. God, we are gathered here today from all sorts of different places, with all sorts of different things on our minds and on our hearts. And so we ask you to do what only you can do. Reach us where we're at. Transform us by your grace so that no one leaves this time the same as we came in. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Our Palm Sunday scripture from Matthew 21 has Jesus taking a road trip. For the message, I thought it would be kind of neat if we took a road trip together. What do you think? Come on, church, let's go. Have you ever been on a road trip? Type a comment to let me know where you've been. My family has taken road trips to faraway places like Florida and Georgia. We've also taken shorter road trips to nearby cities like Lisle. The purpose of a road trip is to see and experience something special. For example, we went to Florida to see Disneyland and experience the happiest place on earth. We went to Georgia to see family and experience the Smoky Mountains. We went to Lisle to see the Morton Arboretum and experience the nature trails. We had a road trip planned for this month. We were going to see national landmarks, experience living history. Can you guess what happened to that trip? Yep, it got canceled. I heard that many others of you had trips and vacations canceled. What a bummer. Fortunately, Jesus invites us to take a road trip with him today. This is a much needed trip. Not just because we need to get outside, but Jesus has something very special that he wants us to see and experience as we go through challenging times in our life. The people in our story were going through a challenging time in their lives. They shouted, Hosanna. I always thought that Hosanna was a happy word. If you've been to a Palm Sunday service before, you've probably shouted Hosanna while you joyfully waved palm branches in the air. But the word Hosanna is more like a desperate, urgent cry for help. The literal word means save now. My family has a pull-out couch in our basement. One day, our daughter accidentally got her head stuck in the couch. I have no idea how she did it, but she did it. She let out the most spine-tingling cry for help. It's one of those screeches that make your heart jump and make you drop whatever you're doing and come running. I mean, she was scared. She was stuck. She was in trouble. She needed someone to come and save her now. I think that captures the essence of Hosanna. It is a desperate, urgent cry for help. Would you say that with me? Hosanna. How about with a little bit more desperation and urgency? Hosanna. save now. I find the word Hosanna fitting for the times that we're in. We're facing some real challenges with the COVID-19 pandemic. There's a lot of people who feel scared, stuck, and in trouble. I mean, maybe you're just going stir crazy from being stuck inside with the stay-at-home and social distancing regulations. Maybe you're feeling alone, isolated, depressed. Maybe your relationships or your family dynamics have been pushed to the breaking point with being stuck together all day inside. Maybe you or someone you love is sick. Maybe you or someone you love is at risk. Maybe you're dealing with grief from losing a loved one to the virus. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed for having to juggle full-time work, full-time parenting, full-time homeschooling. Or maybe your work has been impacted. You're working less hours or no hours. Maybe you lost your job or your business is struggling. Maybe your retirement or your savings have been impacted. Maybe you're just growing more and more anxious as the virus spreads. Whatever the reason, I feel like Hosanna is the fitting word for the times that we're in like this. We have a desperate, urgent cry for help. Hosanna, save now. Would you say that word with me? Hosanna. Jesus hears our cry, and he invites us to take a road trip with him. He has something special that he wants us to see and experience as we go through these challenging times in our lives. So why don't we take a road trip with Jesus? This was a short road trip, only about 4.4 miles from Bethphage to Jerusalem, yet it was a significant road trip. Jewish people from all over were traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. During the Passover festival, they celebrated how God had delivered the people of Israel from slavery in Egypt. Well, now they were under Roman occupation. They were struggling economically, physically, socially, spiritually under Roman rule. During the Passover festival, they also remembered how God promised to send another Savior or Messiah who would save them. On their journey to Jerusalem, they recited the familiar word from Psalm 118, Hosanna. Would you say that with me? Hosanna, save now. A common sight on road trips are billboards. Billboards show us something with a memorable illustration. I think about the billboard from Chick-fil-A that has cows writing, "Eat more chicken." Well, Jesus wanted to show us something special on this road trip about who he is and how we're meant to live as his people. So he chose two big billboards, two memorable illustrations to drive his message home. We're going to take a look at both of those, reflecting first on what it shows us about Jesus and then what it shows us about us. The first billboard that Jesus used was riding on a donkey. Hey kids, this is the page that you get to color and play with. Riding on a donkey was definitely a memorable illustration. For starters, it fulfilled one of God's promises. Has anyone ever made a promise to you? Maybe they kept it, maybe they didn't. God always keeps his promises. Hundreds of years earlier, God made a promise through the prophet Zechariah that God would send a savior to save his people. Listen to the promise in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem, for your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The king is coming, the one who saves. See, God is not distant or removed from our circumstances. God is not unconcerned with our struggles. God comes to save us. There's movement on a road trip. And the movement here is that God is always moving towards us in love. God comes to save us. Would you say that good news with me? God comes to save us. This good news was not new with Jesus. It was just expressed in a new way. God has always been a God who comes to save us. Remember the Passover? When Israel was a slave in Egypt, God appeared to Moses in the wilderness and said this, Exodus 3:7 through 9, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land. God is not distant or removed. God is not unconcerned. God comes to save us. And God came to save his people in many different ways through prophets, judges, priests, kings. And finally, God came in person with Jesus. We find on this road trip, God is true to his word. God kept his promise. Everything happened just as Jesus said it was. Therefore, we can trust God's promises that he will come and save us. Here are a few more promises from the scripture that we can cling to during challenging times. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Zephaniah 3:17, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. And then Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God comes to save us. If you are brokenhearted, if you feel like your spirit is crushed, God is moving towards you in love. In his presence, all fear has to flee. In God, we find all that we need, all the love, strength, peace, comfort, wisdom, hope, help, all that we need for whatever trouble we are facing. God comes to save us. Would you say that one more time with me? God comes to save us. The people in our story welcome Jesus as a king, but their actions reveal that they didn't fully understand the kind of king that he was. They lay their coats on the road, which was something that you would do for a king. Then they cut branches and laid them on the road. This was something that the people of Israel did after a military leader came back from a victory in battle. They were hoping that Jesus would be a military leader who could defeat the Roman Empire. Jesus was a different kind of king. He didn't come riding on a war horse. He came riding on a humble donkey. He didn't come to take lives. He came to humbly lay down his life to save us. Jesus had bigger enemies to take on than the Roman Empire. And empires, they come and they go. Jesus went straight for our two biggest enemies, sin and death. Sin are the wrong thoughts, words, and actions that separate us from God. It's kind of like being in quarantine. When we're infected with sin, we can't be in the presence of our good and perfect God. Even more formidable is our enemy, death. All of us, one day, will lose the battle to death. We needed somebody really special who could save us. A king, like Zechariah mentioned, who is both righteous and victorious. Jesus is both. Jesus came to save us. Our righteous king lived the perfect life that we could never live. He paid the price for our wrongs on the cross. He died, but 3 days later, he rose victorious over death. And our risen Savior is moving towards each and every one of us in love, offering the free gift of a new beginning and a new life with God that will last for all eternity. It's a pretty amazing billboard. We have another billboard to look at, though, so let's keep moving. I stopped at our church because Jesus stopped at their place of worship, the temple. The first billboard was riding a donkey. The second billboard was cleansing the temple. The billboards seemed to clash. You have the humble king riding on a donkey and the angry guy turning over tables. But really, they both show us the same thing. A God who comes to save us. All of us. Cleansing is a big deal nowadays. We want to clean away harmful germs so that we don't spread any diseases. Danny Gokey came up with a fun song. It goes like this. Yeah, you gotta wah, wah, wash your hands. If you gotta cough, cough, turn your head. Then you gotta clean, clean, clean your space. That's how we keep those germs away. I know you wanted to sing that with me. Just as we want to clean away harmful germs, Jesus wants to clean away harmful thoughts, words, and behaviors from our lives. When Jesus entered the temple, he saw something that really upset him. The temple was a small building surrounded by circular courts. And the innermost court was the court of the priests. That's where only the priests could go. The next court was the court of the Israelites. That's where Jewish men could go. Next was the court of the women, where Jewish women could go. Beyond that, you had the court of the Gentiles. People of other races could go in that court, but not further upon threat of death. It was in the court of the Gentiles where they had the money changers and the people who sold doves. Jesus saw people taking advantage of others. It was kind of like how people bought up all of the hand sanitizers and toilet paper, and then tried to sell them online for really high prices. Amazon has been cracking down on price gouging. Thank you. Jesus did kind of the same thing. You see, when people came to visit the temple, they had to pay a temple tax and offer an animal sacrifice. The catch was, they could only use temple coins. So if they came from anywhere else, they had to change them. And they could only offer perfect animals. There were people at the temple who inspected the animals and almost always said there was a blemish of some kind and they had to buy the temple animal. As you can imagine, with that kind of monopoly, there was some scamming going on. Often the poor and foreigners were taken advantage of by the money changers, ripped off by those selling doves. What's worse, all the hustle and bustle got in the way of genuine worshipers seeking God. This made Jesus really angry. He said, "My temple is to be called a house of prayer for all nations, and you've turned it into a den of thieves." In his anger, Jesus didn't hurt people. He fueled that anger to help people. He cleansed the temple of harmful practices, and he cleared the way for people who really needed him. What happened next is the blind and the lame came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. Sadly, people who had physical disabilities were often excluded from worship and not allowed in the temple, but not with Jesus. See, God comes to save us, all of us. Jesus was tearing down every dividing wall that separates us. He was cleaning away every harmful practice. He was making space so that every single person could experience God's salvation. A familiar phrase that I hear on road trips is, "Are we there yet?" Have you ever asked that? Have you ever heard that? Maybe you're thinking that right now with this sermon. Are we there yet? Almost. Jesus wanted us to see something special on this road trip about who he is. God comes to save us, all of us. Jesus is moving towards you in love. I think he also wanted us to see something special about how we're to live as followers of Jesus. I'd like to close with three C's that could help us keep moving in the right direction. Yes, you can practice all of these at home with safe social distance. The first C is cleanse your life. I've noticed a lot of people taking the time at home to do some cleaning. That's great. Perhaps this is also a time to allow Jesus to do some cleansing of our soul. Do you have any harmful thoughts that need to be cleansed? Do you need Jesus to help you replace worry with faith, despair with hope, self-loathing with self-love? Do you have any harmful words that need to be cleansed? Do you need Jesus to help you replace negativity with encouragement, dishonesty with truth, nitpicking with building up? Do you have any harmful emotions that need to be cleansed? Do you need Jesus to help you replace jealousy with gratitude, pride with humility, bitterness with forgiveness? Do you have any harmful behaviors that need cleansing? Maybe you need Jesus to help you replace prejudice with compassion, selfishness with generosity, laziness with diligence. Allow Jesus to cleanse you from anything that would get in the way of him working in and through your life. The second C is cry Hosanna. Do you remember what the word Hosanna means? Save now. It's a desperate, urgent cry for help. Rather than allowing our troubles to consume us, we can bring our troubles to God in prayer. We can cry Hosanna. Philippians 4:6 tells us, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." God hears. God cares. God comes to save. So when we're facing troubles, we can cry Hosanna. There's a woman in my small group who started a wonderful practice for Lent. Every time she sees bad news, she turns to God in prayer. She cries, Hosanna. Quoting Isaiah 56:7, Jesus said, I want my temple, my people, to be a house of prayer for all nations. Even though we can't gather at 1310 Shepherd Drive, our address, our church has been gathering every weekday at 1310 military time, 1:10 p.m., for a live prayer cast. It's just 10 minutes of interaction, scripture reading, and prayer. Well over 100 people have been joining us every weekday, and I've heard so many reports back that this is an uplifting time, encouraging time where we can seek God together for His love, strength, peace, comfort, wisdom, hope, and help. We've been praying for our first responders, our healthcare workers, our community, our leaders, our world. We've been crying Hosanna together. This week, I offered up an idea for how we can be praying for all nations. It'd be hard to pray for all nations by yourself. But what if each of us took a country that started with the first letter of our first name and prayed for that country? There's a website called Operation World that has information about every country and helpful tips about how you can pray for them. I would encourage you, take that challenge today. Help us be a house that prays for all nations. And set your alarms. Join us every day at 1:10 for our live 1310 prayer cast. Cry Hosanna. The third C is care for others. Jesus went out of his way to care for those in need. And he calls his followers to do the same. I've heard so many neat stories during this time about ways that people are stepping up from our church to care for others. For example, people calling to check in on the most vulnerable. A group making a thank you video for first responders and healthcare workers. Our quilters donating blankets to an emergency shelter. People raking leaves for families with special needs. Others making masks, donating platelets. People writing cards for those who are lonely and hurting. We can all do something. We've been in conversation with our local and global mission partners to see how Good Shepherd can best care for those in need, how we can best provide food, water, shelter, education, and other basic services for those who are in need. If you haven't already, fill out our needs form. Either let us know a need that you have or a way that you'd like to help, and we'll put you in touch with an opportunity to care for others who are in need. I also wanted to send you a guide for how to be a caring neighbor during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's a great resource with wonderful tips on how to be a caring neighbor when we have to stay at home and practice social distancing. If you fill out a response card, I'll gladly send that to you. I invite you to text the words GSC space sermon to 313131. GSC space sermon to 313131, and you'll get a link to fill out a confidential response card. And I invite you right now to prayerfully consider how God is calling you to respond to the scripture and the message for today. Maybe it's as simple as receiving the good news. God comes to save us. God is moving towards you in love. He wants to be your Lord and Savior. And maybe today, for the first time or anew, is an opportunity for you to say, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. I invite you into my life. Fill me with your Spirit. Lead me from this day forward. Or maybe God is calling you to focus on one of the C's, to allow Jesus to cleanse your life, to cry out Hosanna when you're facing troubles, or to step up and find ways to care for others in need. Take some time now to listen, to let God speak to your heart, to propel you into action. And to help prepare our hearts for this time of response, we wanted to share a song with you. Thank you. our God is a river. That makes God the city of God. Its stream is mighty. Pushing back the fear in our hearts. The waters make clean, provide every need, and guide in the path we should go. Our God is a river. Let your waters flow. Seems uncertain, be still and know that He is God. Be still when you do not have the answers, be still. Our God is a river. Our God is river.